This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Grammy Award-winning indie folk rock singer-songwriter Ani DeFranco has been blazing her own trail through the music business for more than three decades, beginning with the release of her debut solo album at just 19 years old, following the creation of her own independent record label, Righteous Babe Records. With 20 studio albums now under her belt, last month DeFranco released a new memoir titled No Walls and the Recurring Dream, including stories from her upbringing, her early music career, her activism, and much more. Later this hour, we'll hear from Ani about the book, how she approaches songwriting, and even her political involvement right here in Southwest Florida. That's coming up later this hour. But first, Theater Conspiracy will kick off performances of playwright Stephen Dietz's 2012 dark comedy Rancho Mirage next Friday, June 14th, at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. Through fast-paced dialogue, framing some pretty uncomfortable moments, and a whole lot of wine, Rancho Mirage explores what happens when the secrets and lies of three affluent couples gathered for a dinner party begin to unravel. Joining me now for a closer look at the Theater Conspiracy's production, as well as the Alliance for the Arts Change Program, is actor and the show's director, Ann Dodd. Dodd studied theater at Vanderbilt University and with Academy Award-nominated actor the late Bill Hickey at HB Studio in New York. She was also a member of the Academy Theater in Atlanta, as well as other repertory theater companies, before relocating to Southwest Florida. And locally, her acting and directing credits are quite impressive. Ann Dodd, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you.
And returning to the WGCU studios is Sonia McCarter, who's performing in the upcoming production. McCarter is an accomplished actress, educator, singer, and director. She also serves as the Alliance for the Arts Community Engagement Coordinator. Sonia McCarter, welcome back. Always great to connect with you.
Thank you. Glad to be back, John.
And as always, I invite listeners to join the conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. And now, before we get into our discussion of Rancho Mirage, I wanted to mention again that the Theater Conspiracy is celebrating its 26th season, or this will be the final show. So congratulations on that. And I know that you guys are going to continue being busy throughout the summer as well.
Yes, we have a lot coming down the pike. Well, right now we are in our summer camp, so we have lots of kids on campus, which is always great. But we're looking at bringing a summer of funny. So there may be some other comedy shows that are coming in during the summer before we start our next season.
All right. And a bit later in the conversation, we're going to get a preview of what's going to be coming up this fall. Let's talk a bit about Rancho Mirage and I guess how the decision was made to select this play. Anne?
I gave Bill quite a few plays last season that I would like to direct, and he chose Rancho Mirage. It's a very funny play. It's very well written. The thing I love about it is that it's a real truth-telling play. And it also gives the actors an opportunity to play both comedy and drama. Everyone has some really serious, poignant moments in the play, and there's also a lot of hilarious revelations.
Yeah, and in the description of the tone of the play, I think Dietz wrote, "This play is a comedy until it's not."
I like that.
Which I think is very telling.
Right?
So is this something that you had performed or directed in the past, Anne? I'm just wondering how it came up on your radar.
Oh, no. I'm just a voracious reader of plays. I'm constantly on Samuel French and just perusing to see what's out there, what's new, what hasn't been done. And I really wanted to do something that was honest and funny and really truthful. And I just loved this play. It just really spoke to me. And the more I read it, the more I realized that there was a lot more to it than the first reading. The first reading is just very funny and sort of crazy, but the more you get into it, I mean, we've all really dissected the hell out of this play. Mm-hmm. So there's something for everyone in this play. We deal with Alzheimer's, you know, aging parents, infidelity, bankruptcy, the difficulty of finding a good babysitter. I mean, I think there's something that everyone in the audience can relate to.
Sonia, tell us a bit about your character in particular.
Oh, Louise. Well, Louise is... Okay, so I just want to preface it by saying Louise is nothing like me.
Okay.
Okay? But Louise is... well, Louise is one of those people who will... Oh, gosh, how do I put this? She says what she's thinking before she considers that what she's thinking is probably not good to say.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's kind of outrageous. She's very truthful. She pulls no punches. She loves fiercely, though. And that's what I love about her, that even though she can seem unkind sometimes, she loves fiercely. And I think that's one of the things that you'll see for all of the characters, that even though they don't always get along and they say some things that are hurtful, they choose to stay in the room and work it out and love each other in the end. And that really is Louise. So I don't know if people are going to like Louise. she's one of those characters, I don't know, you may not like her.
Do you think that's an additional challenge for you as an actor? And by that I mean, like, if I don't know, if I'm watching a character on a stage or if I'm just reading about a character in a fiction book, their flaws are kind of what make them human and actually more
right.
relatable and give them depth. But in this case, it can kind of make them unlikable. Like, as
yeah.
you said, I am not like her.
No. Yeah. But here's the thing that I when you are, you know, studying your character and you need to bring didn't necessarily like her, but you always have to find that one thing that makes your character real and human to you. And you need to bring that because, you know, we may not like every person that we meet, but they're still human. And, you know, they're still we need to find that thing that is lovable about them. And that's one thing I could relate to with Louise, is that she loves fiercely and she's very protective of those that she loves, and that she hurts just like everybody else. And you'll see that she's vulnerable.
All right. And I wanted to talk to you about casting and casting decisions you've made. And because I did a fair amount of web surfing, looking at reviews of other productions of Rancho Mirage that have been put on by, you know, other regional or repertory theater companies around the country. Something that stood out to me was that in all these previous productions, I was able to find if there was a photo of the cast, they were invariably all white. And you did not choose to go in that direction at all. This is a primarily black cast or an all black cast?
I tried for an all black cast. It was very difficult to find the men. But we have, 7 people in our cast, 5 of whom are actors of color.
All right.
For me, it was basically, you know, being on the other side of the table and directing, it gives you a sense of power as far as casting ability, and Bill is really terrific about that at Theater Conspiracy. He gives you free rein. You know, he'll discuss things with you, but basically he lets you make the final decision. And for me, it was personal because my sons are biracial, and they never saw themselves represented in popular culture, which was very difficult as a mother for them. They're grown now, but you know, I was managing an independent bookstore in Chicago, and I could not find any books that had characters that looked like my children. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no Black Panther. There wasn't anybody that in the movies or on television or in theater that my children could see and say, wow, that's me.
Yeah.
So I feel like there is such a lack of diversity in theater. And when I read this play, I thought, why not? Why can't I cast it this way? It came from that. It also came from a few experiences where I was in the room with all actors of color, and the shorthand and the immediate bond that was created was so profound, it sort of took my breath away. And I thought, wow, you know, I want this. I want to have this connection with the cast. So I felt it was really important. I think it's something that theater needs to look at. You know, it's the last liberal bastion, but there is still a lot of sexism, ageism, and racism in the theater, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I feel like I just wanted to take some of these really great actors in town and let them be in a show that's just about being a person, that has nothing to do with color or anything else. And, you know, Sonia is one of our best actresses, and she directs August Wilson every year. That's the show that she could be in, but she's directing it. So I think it's important that we include more people in theater.
Yeah, I've got to be completely honest with you. Seeing your casting decisions really kind of made me do a double take in considering my own conceptions, my own implicit bias, and checking my own privilege. Because I did a read-through of this play with some friends. I just read the description, and it didn't occur to me that these were not white characters. And I think that maybe that there's a lot of, as you were talking about before, seeing your own biracial children not seeing themselves reflected. And that, I think, continues to impact the way that we think about things, even on an unconscious level. So, I mean, I think you kind of touched on this, but is that kind of something that you were trying to do, you know, in addition to giving acting roles to folks who often face challenges when it comes to, you know, being in the theater world because of racial identity?
You know, I just think people want to see themselves on stage.
Yeah.
And theater, we need to tell everyone's story. And we need new generations of theater professionals. So we need to... I mean, if there is even a couple of kids that show up for this play and say, wow, I can do that, that's an option for me, mm-hmm. that would be fabulous. I just feel like there's such a minority in the theater. I mean, it's still the patriarchy. You know, we still have limited roles for women, and there's so many more women in theater. We have a very small percentage of directors. You know, only 20% of artistic directors of theaters are female. And I think it's 8% of directors are women. And plays by women of color, they're only 6%. So, you know, theaters are still doing Neil Simon. And come on, people, it's 2019. There are so many wonderful new plays and new playwrights out there that need to be embraced.
Yeah. Sonia, I know we've touched on this in past conversations on this show, but I mean, do you think that there's a lot of, you know, specifically black acting talent here in Southwest Florida that by and large continues to be underutilized?
Yes, I do believe that. And I think that there are a lot of people who want to learn and would appreciate the opportunity as well. I really applaud Anne for making this choice. Even though it's not an all black cast, the fact that she looked at these characters and said, okay, these are human beings, and who says that these three couples in this affluent neighborhood can't be people of color,
yeah.
You know? And I think that here in Southwest Florida, that, you know, directors, artistic directors, they need to give another look and just consider, we call it unconventional casting, but I mean, gosh, it's not really unconventional. People are people.
Right.
I mean, you know, there are some shows, yes, that require them to be African-American because of the story that they are telling. But there are lots of shows that are being put on these stages here that it is not color specific.
Mm-hmm.
They are people specific. And if you have an actor who does a fantabulous job, why not use them despite their skin color?
Are there other places in the country where, and I hate to use the term like colorblind, but where colorblind casting is more common?
Yes, I think that there is. You know, Derek Lively, who is from New York City, he said that one of the kind of theater culture shocks that he received when he got here was that most of the theaters did not cast, they did not colorblind cast. So
yeah.
If it didn't call for a black person, he wasn't going to get the role. And he said in New York, it's not like that. He's been a lot of different shows and it didn't call for a black male,
right.
But he got the role.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. We're speaking with actors Sonia McCarter and Ann Dodd. Sonia is acting in and Ann is directing the Theater Conspiracy's upcoming production of the dark comedy Rancho Mirage at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. The show runs from next Friday evening, June 14th through the 23rd. And listeners can join our conversation on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. Or phone lines are open, 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Another thing that stuck with me after experiencing this play was just thinking about the whole concept of honesty and how when we're little kids, you know, you're always told honesty is the best policy. And but then kind of as we get older, relationship dynamics get more complicated and you start to run into these morally ambiguous situations where we can justify deception rather than honesty as an act of love. We're protecting them. But then on the other hand, we can use that justification for why we're lying when we're really just protecting ourselves. And I'm wondering if it's got you thinking about honesty and deception and its role in relationships, just going over this play and getting into your character, Sonia.
Well, yes, definitely. There's there's a line in the play that Louise says. She says, it's a, you know, I have a feeling that tonight is going to be a why not night. So that's, you know, why not tell the truth? Mm-hmm. Why keep it all in? Why hide it? And there are a lot of things that all of the characters are not revealing to their best friends. These are the people that you are supposed to be able to be your most honest with. And everyone's hiding. And we do it. We do it. But actually, as I was looking at the character and looking at myself, I was hopeful that I did not do some of these things, that there were people in my life that I could actually be honest and truthful with. I'm sorry. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, it does. Yeah.
But Anne could probably help you a little bit more.
Well, you know, Louise lobs the first grenade. Louise sets the tone for the evening. And everyone slowly follows as they get more inebriated and a little bit braver.
Wine is the key.
All the little gremlins come out. But everyone in this play has lost or is losing something. Everyone has a secret. They're all sort of standing on the abyss. They're just a few drinks away from falling into despair, basically. But what's so great about this play is that these people, as Sonia said, they stay in the room. They do love each other. The evening ends on a really beautiful note, although everyone's a little damaged and beaten up. But it basically, these are people who celebrate every anniversary, every birthday, every holiday together. These are people who raise their children together. So these are fierce, fierce friends. And for me, when I auditioned, especially the women, when I had Sonia and a couple other women of color together reading this one scene, I mean, it sang. It sang with a musicality that was just breathtaking to me. And I remember in the middle of the audition when I had a break, Sonia was teaching her change course, and I ran over to the building and dragged her out and said, "Oh, my God, I'm thinking of going, you know, all people of color in this play," because it was really exciting to me. I feel like it added such a level of understanding because of the shared experience that these women all have. And I think you'll see that when you see the play. And I certainly hope you'll come, John, especially now that I know that you've read the play.
Yes. Well, I love the way that the dialogue just seems like it's really quick. Like if you're not paying attention, you're going to want to pay attention or you're going to miss the joke.
Because
they come fast. Was that, say, more challenging or more fun, Sonia, to do that kind of – because the characters are constantly cutting each other off, and it's a very fine balancing act.
It's challenging, definitely, and it's fun when it works.
Yeah.
When it works, it's a lot of fun. But it's definitely a challenge. having all of the overlapping.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's how we do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When we're with friends, this is what we do.
Right. Well, let's segue a little bit and talk about the change program, because I think the Alliance for the Arts for a long time has sort of had a commitment to, you know, celebrating and fostering diversity in the arts. But is this program specifically a new initiative?
Yes, which it started last year.
Okay.
And we were able to get a grant from the Southwest Florida Community Foundation to look at our community and see how we could facilitate, you know, change and diversity within the theater arts, and how we could connect with other communities and provide that access. And so it's an ongoing process because, again, as we've said before, in order to do more plays that that have stories that are relevant to people of color, you have to have people of color who are able to be in those plays to tell those stories. Mm. So that means that we need to train people. One of the things that once I connected with Derek Lively, who's a professional playwright and actor, one point that he really brought out to me, he said, Sonia, if you really want to engage the community, you need to equip them with the ability to tell their own stories.
Mm.
And the way you do that is to teach them how to write them, how to look at themselves and write what they're passionate about, write what's relevant right now where they live. And so that's part of what we're going to be doing in August.
All right. And so Derek's going to be teaching the
the playwriting class.
There's also going to be, acting-based workshop.
Yes.
Is that for, like, everybody?
It is also for people of color. This is how we're starting, and it'll probably branch out to include everyone. But for right now, we're focused on people of color to be a part of the acting program. And that one is another fundamentals of acting for adults 17 and up who are interested in really getting on the stages here in Southwest Florida.
And the acting social workshops portion of this initiative seemed really interesting to me.
Yeah, we had a great first workshop in March, I believe, and the theme was identity. What is your mask? And we had a great time with a great group of diverse people to talk about how we perceive ourselves and how it influences how others. Perceive us influences how we respond to them and how we connect to others. It was very good, you know, putting that mask on and how do you take it off and keep it off. Yeah, so it was good.
All right. So that's going to be going on throughout the year?
Yes, in some form.
Okay.
In some form. It may not specifically be the acting social, but we're always looking to expand and grow our repertoire of classes that allow people to come together and have social discourse through that that pathway of the arts.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, and when, you know, the sweltering summer heat is behind us and we get back into theater season this coming fall, I know you're excited about a full lineup. Is there anything that you can tell us to kind of, tempt the palate there for what's coming up this fall?
I am so excited about this next season at the Theater Conspiracy for the Alliance for the Arts. We are always looking to present theater from the classics to the cutting edge. So we are starting with Harvey. And Harvey is by Mary Chase. Most people may know it by the film in the 1950s with Jimmy Stewart about the imaginary 6-foot rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a classic that we're bringing. We're also going to have a Fringe Festival favorite, 5 Lesbians Eating a Quiche.
Okay.
it's a farcical audience interactive celebration of sisterhood and survival.
Okay.
It is a comedy, just in case you were wondering. but we're also doing Mountaintop by Katori Hall, which is the story about the last night that MLK was alive, Martin Luther King Jr. was alive in the Lorraine Hotel. And it's an imagining of what could have possibly happened that last night before he was killed at the hotel. And then another one that we're looking forward to is our next installation of August Wilson's American Century Cycle, which is King Headley II, which is sort of like a sequel to Seven Guitars. Some of the same characters are brought back. And he has like a through line of characters that are woven through all of his plays. So I'm really excited about that one.
All right. There's 10 plays in this whole cycle.
Yes.
So how many has the theater conspiracy
this
tackled so far?
This will be the fourth. King Headley will be the fourth. So we've done Ma Rainey, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. We've done Seven Guitars. We've done Joe Turner's Come and Gone. And now we'll be doing King Headley. So that'll be number four.
All right. Definitely looking forward to those. And we are actually just about out of time for this portion of the show. But I wanted to ask Anne if you had any final thoughts to leave us with.
I just really hope everyone comes out and sees this play. And I think when the lights come up, a lot of people are going to be surprised and think, wow, am I in the wrong place? Is this August Wilson? And then I'm really hoping that once the dialogue begins, that everyone will sit back and just watch a story about, friends, and the color will disappear. That's what I really hope for this show.
What about you, Sonia? Any closing thoughts to leave us with?
Yeah, I think that the show will be a reminder of how important it is for us to listen to each other and to find those moments where we can truly share what's going on with ourselves and love and just enjoy being in each other's company. We need that in our lives. So, yeah.
All right. And the play is Rancho Mirage by Stephen Dietz. Again, it is a dark comedy. As we said, it's funny until it's not. Get serious. It's going to be at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. The show will open next Friday, June 14th, and runs through the 23rd. For tickets or showtimes or more information, you can visit artinlee.org/theater. We've been speaking with Anne Dodd, who's directing this production, as well as Sonia McCarter, one of the stars of the show. And Sonia, so great to speak with you. Thanks for taking
the
time.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, Grammy Award-winning indie folk rock singer-songwriter Ani DeFranco recently published a new memoir titled No Walls and the Recurring Dream about her upbringing, her early career in music, her activism on behalf of progressive ideals, and much more. I recently caught up with her to talk about the book, her music, and even some recent political involvement right here in Southwest Florida. That conversation's just ahead. I'm John Davis, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.